Have you ever learned something that you didn't know about your father? Growing up, I noticed in our home we had these big silver spoons in the kitchen. And on those spoons were initials U.S. And I wondered what that meant and where those came from. And so one day I asked my mom, "What are these spoons? Where did these come from? What does this mean?" And my mom said, "Oh, that's from the United States Army." So, well, why are they here in our home? "Well, your dad was a cook in the Army." My father was a cook. You have to understand, I never saw my father in the kitchen unless it was to eat supper or breakfast or lunch. That's the only time I ever saw him. I never saw my father cook anything. But that's like the Army, right? You know, this guy doesn't know how to cook. He doesn't like to cook. So let's make him a cook. We think he'll do a good job at that. You know, I hear about people who come back from their service in the military and they just don't talk about what happened. And maybe that's what it was. Maybe cooking was so traumatic, my father just couldn't bring it up. I don't know. But I found out that day that my father was a cook in the Army. Now, I must say, if you have been here at Westside for a long time, my dad, before he passed away, he used to come here and he used to do a fish fry every year. And so that's the only time I ever saw my dad cook anything. He would fry fish and fry hush puppies for our church, and my mom would make grits and salad, and we would have a big fish fry here each year, and he enjoyed doing that, and I missed that. But I learned something new about my father. Well, we're going to take a look at Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 is probably one of the most famous chapters in the Bible. In it, we find the story of the lost sheep and the story of the lost coin and the story of the lost son. And really, the parable is not about sheep, and it's not about coins, and it's not about sons. It's really about the Father. Jesus encountered some religious leaders in Luke chapter 15, Pharisees and scribes. And they revealed in the first two verses of this chapter that they really didn't know anything about the Father. And so Jesus told this parable to show them what the Father is like. Specifically, how the Father responds to sinners. I know we like to think of this as three different parables. Actually, this is just one parable. Verse 3 says, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying," and until the end of the chapter, there is no break. It's just one story. And so we're going to take a look at this parable and the three chapters, if you will, in the parable of the lost things. Look at verses 1 and 2. "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." I think it's significant that Jesus attracted sinners while the Pharisees and scribes repelled them. Isn't that interesting? Why? Why was that? Jesus did not excuse their actions. Jesus did not compromise his message for them. What was the difference? Jesus showed compassion. He showed love for these people. Now, the Pharisees and the scribes, they despised the sinners. They considered sinners to be beneath them. The Pharisees and the scribes even criticized Jesus. They murmured against Jesus for receiving sinners and even eating with them. And really, behind this complaint was a grievous insult. What they were saying, what they were implying, is that Jesus preferred sinners because he himself was a sinner. He preferred those people because he was like those people, is what they were insinuating. But you know, they had forgotten, and maybe they never even acknowledged, that they too were counted among the sinners. And Scripture reminds us throughout that we're all sinners. There is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, we read, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And that's what we see in chapters 1 and 2 of this parable. Chapter 1, we see the lost sheep. So look at verse 3. "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, If he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. As a young person, I always struggled with this part of the story. Why would the shepherd leave? Why would he abandon the 99 and go looking for that one sheep? Why would he do that? And so just to calm your fears, the shepherd didn't abandon his 99. He left them in the care of others, and he went searching for the one sheep that was lost. He searched for that sheep, notice the words, until he found it. There was no other option. There was no coming back without that sheep. The shepherd was going to find the sheep. And when he found the sheep, he laid that sheep on his shoulders and he bore that sheep. He carried that sheep back. And then he gathered all his friends and said, come and rejoice with me. I have found my sheep that was lost. Now you might think that the shepherd would just say, look, I still have 99 other sheep. Losing one sheep is not so bad. But aren't you glad the shepherd went looking for the sheep? Aren't you glad our Father goes looking for those who are lost? And he left the 99 to go and find the one that was lost, and he searched until he found it. I don't know if the Pharisees and scribes caught on, but it was a reminder that all of us are like those lost sheep. And we see that comparison throughout Scripture. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him, speaking of Jesus, the iniquity of us all. David wrote in Psalm 119, 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Peter wrote about sheep in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Instead of complaining and criticizing like the Pharisees and the scribes did, there is joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. The angels rejoice. Our Father in heaven rejoices over that one sinner. In chapter 2, we see the lost coin. Look at verse 8. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. The word used for coin here is drachma. It was the equivalent of one day's wage for a common laborer in those days. It was a substantial bit of money. Most likely these 10 coins were the dowry that this woman had received from her father. And these dowry coins were often worn on a headdress or worn on a necklace around their neck. And to lose one of these dowry coins would have been a calamity, would have been horrible. And so what did this woman do? She lit a lamp, she swept the house, and she looked diligently until she found it. There was no other option. She was not going to stop until she found that coin. She would continue looking until the coin was found. And instead of complaining, criticizing like the Pharisees and scribes did, God said, the angels in heaven rejoice along with our Father over one sinner that repents. What is our Heavenly Father like? The Father seeks lost sinners. And what our Heavenly Father seeks for, my friend, he will find. What is our Father like? The Father rejoices over repentant sinners. Let me pause here and just say, maybe there's someone with us, or maybe there's someone who's listening online, who you are like the lost sheep. You're like the lost coin. You are living your life in this world without Christ. That means you're separated from God because of your sin. And there are no exceptions to that. We all come into this world as sinners. We're all born sinners. There is none righteous, no, not one. We've all gone astray. That sin will separate us from God, not only now in this life, but that sin will separate us from God for eternity. We'll be separated from God in a place called hell. You know, we don't like to hear a lot about hell, do we? The world doesn't like to acknowledge that there's a hell. Some churches don't like to even mention that word, but hell is a real place. And hell is a place where sins will be paid for eternity, separated from God. But you know, our sins have already been paid for. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He paid the price. The scripture is very clear, Old and New Testament. The wages of sin is death. In the Old Testament, we read, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the wages of sin is death. Not just physical death, but eternal death, eternal separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We can have forgiveness of our sins and eternal life in heaven, not because of anything that we can do, not because of any works that we can accomplish, but because of the work that was accomplished on the cross by Jesus Christ. He died on the cross and paid the price of death for our sins. And then God gives the invitation to all. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be forgiven. If you have never come to that point in your life where you recognize that you're a sinner, the penalty for your sin is death and separation from God, you've never asked Jesus to save you, to take away your sins and be your Savior, please do that. Today. Please do that now. Don't continue to be like that lost sheep. Don't continue to be like that lost coin. The way has been provided for you to be saved. We see chapter 3 of our parable beginning in verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. According to the Jewish law, the oldest son received 2/3 of the inheritance. The remainder was divided among the rest of the children. So 1/3 of the inheritance went to the younger son. And really, this request of the younger son, this demand that he made for his inheritance, was a slap in his father's face. It was as if he was saying to his dad, I wish you were dead. I want my inheritance now. Verse 13 says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. Not long after he received his inheritance, the younger son left home and he traveled to a far country. He wanted to get as far away from home as he possibly could, as far away from his father as he possibly could. And there he wasted his inheritance with riotous living. The word translated riotous implies not only wasteful living, but immoral living as well. What a sad thing. The story continues in verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. And when all his inheritance was gone, a terrible famine came to the land. My friend, the far country is no place to be when your funds run out. And the far country is no place to be when your friends run off. And the far country is no place to be when famine moves in. He was far from home, and he was all alone. Now what does he do? Verse 15. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. This is unimaginable for a Jewish boy to end up taking care of pigs and living with pigs and eating with the pigs. I don't know if you know anything about pigs. I don't know a lot about pigs. I've never cared for pigs or lived with pigs or even fed pigs. But I've seen pictures, as we all have, right, of how pigs live and what pigs eat. And I can't imagine myself stooping so low as to eat what the pigs eat. But look how far down sin has brought him. Sin will always lead us to actions that we never thought we would do. And sin will always take us to places we never imagined we would be. That's the nature of sin. And this young Jewish boy finds himself in the pigsty, caring for the pigs, living with the pigs, eating with the pigs. Verse 17 says, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger.'" Here is the turning point. The turning point in this chapter of the parable. The younger son came to himself. He came to his senses. What would have happened to the younger son had he not come to his senses? What would have happened had he made excuses for his condition? Had he wallowed in his own self-pity? What would have happened had he never come to his senses? Well, he says in that very verse, "I perish with hunger." Had he not come to his senses, he would have died with the pigs in the pigsty. That would have been his end. But, praise the Lord, he came to his senses. Verses 18 and 19 say this, "I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.'" He rehearsed a speech that he would give to his father when he returned home. He said to himself, "I'm going to return to my father. I'm going to say to my father, 'I don't deserve to be your son anymore. Please make me like one of your servants, at least as one of your servants. I'll have a roof over my head. I'll have food in my belly. I'll have clothes on my back. At least I'll be better off than I am now.'" But he said this, "I am no more worthy to be called thy son." Friends, we are not worthy. We have done nothing to deserve to be called the sons or the daughters of God. In fact, the only way that we can become a son or daughter of God is only because of his love. And John said it this way in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." That word "behold" means an uttering of astonishment. And "bestowed" means to lavish upon. And so John here is saying, "I am utterly astonished at how God the Father lavishes his love on us to make us his children. I am just astonished." And aren't we all astonished at the love that God pours out on us? That love that took Jesus to the cross to bear our sins. For God so loved the world, that utterly astonishing love, that we can be called the sons and the daughters of God, the children of God. He said, "I am no more worthy to be called thy son." Really, the truth was, the younger son never stopped being his father's son, right? He was his father's son when he left home, and he was his father's son while he lived a prodigal lifestyle. He was his father's son in the pigsty. He was his father's son when he came to his senses. He was still his father's son when he returned home. Nothing could change that fact. He was his father's son. And as sons and daughters of God, nothing can change that fact. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." We are secure in the hand of our Heavenly Father, and nothing can change that. Amen. No one can pluck us from his hand. The power of hell itself, the power of Satan himself, cannot pluck us from the hand of God. If you are his son, if you are his daughter, if you are a child of God, you are always a child of God. Now, that is not a license to go out and do whatever you want to do. But that's just a motivation for us to live our lives in such a way that we please our Heavenly Father, that our Heavenly Father rejoices in us as his children. In verses 20 and 24, we continue our story, and he arose, and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. The son, by the way, didn't just think about going home. He didn't just talk about going home. He arose and he went home. And that is the decisive action that changed everything in this chapter of our parable. He arose and came to his father. I can imagine the Pharisees and the scribes listening to what Jesus says and continuing to grumble and to complain. But don't miss what this teaches us about the Father. We see the heart of our Heavenly Father right here. The Father had been waiting and watching for his son. The whole time his son was gone, the Father was watching and waiting. And when his son confessed and repented and returned, his father was ready and waiting to receive him and welcome him home. Isn't that a beautiful picture of our Heavenly Father? No matter how far we stray, no matter what we do, our Heavenly Father is waiting to receive us home. When we come to our senses, when we confess our sin and turn from our sin and return to our Father, he is waiting to receive us, to welcome us home. What a wonderful Heavenly Father. You know, there are not a lot of earthly fathers that would do that, right? A lot of earthly fathers would say, look, son, you paved your path. You get what you deserve. It's been nice seeing you, but you're not welcome here anymore. And that wasn't the attitude of our Father in the story. And that's not the attitude of our Heavenly Father. He told his servants to bring out a robe, not just any robe, but the best robe. That's significant, the best robe. Probably an indication that it was the Father's robe. They brought the Father's own robe and put it on his son. And doesn't that remind us of what Jesus has done for us? Isn't it wonderful to know that when we come to Christ, we don't come in our own righteousness because we have none. But when we come to Christ, he gives us his own righteousness. He puts on us the robe of his own righteousness. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, we read this, and be found in him, be found in Jesus Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And so when we come to Christ, we receive his robe of righteousness, the Father's own robe. And when our Father in heaven looks at us, he no longer sees us, but he sees the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. What an awesome thing that is. He told his servants to bring a ring and to put it on his hand. A ring was a sign of sonship, and shoes on his feet. Servants didn't wear shoes. Sons wore shoes. And he said, my son who was dead is now alive. Now, the son never actually died, right? He made it out of the pigsty. He didn't die there. He was dead in the sense that he was separated from his father, and his relationship with his father had been severed because of his sin. He was lost, and he now was found. Well, was he ever really lost? I think the son always knew where he was. That far-off place, he knew where he was. He knew where his father was. He was lost in the sense that he was far from home, and he was not where he was supposed to be. In verses 25 through 32, we really could have just a whole sermon about the older brother, right? And so I'm just going to have to scratch the surface here. But we see the older brother step into the story. And let me just read the verses and make a few comments. In verse 25, "Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house. He heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." And you would think that the brother would rejoice as well, right? That his brother had come home. You think he would be happy, but no, he was angry and would not go in. "Therefore came his father out and entreated him and pleaded with him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet, it was fit, that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found." The older brother was self-righteous, he was angry, he was unforgiving. He was a picture of the Pharisees and scribes. He's also a picture of us, right? We can be just as self-righteous, we can be just as angry, we can be just as unforgiving. We can see the blessings of God come down on someone that we feel is undeserving, and we resent that. We get angry over that. We can be just the same way. The older brother was angry because his brother had come home, and he was welcomed by his father, and he was blessed by his father with a feast. The older brother was unforgiving. Maybe the father forgave him, but I will never forgive him for what he has done. And you know, it's interesting that everyone in this parable experienced joy. The shepherd, the woman, their friends, the father, the servants, the younger son, they all experienced joy, all except the older brother. All except the older brother. He was angry, he was unforgiving, and he was self-righteous. My friend, there is joy in forgiveness. There is joy in setting aside your anger. Don't miss out on that joy. Don't be like that older brother. This third chapter shows us what the Father is like. What is the Father like? The Father receives straying sinners. Isn't that great to know? Because we all go astray. We're all like sheep who stray. Some of us stray farther than others, but we all stray from our Father, and our Father receives straying sinners. What is the Father like? The Father pleads with self-righteous sinners. Please, don't be unforgiving. Please, don't be angry. Please, don't be self-righteous. You have no righteousness to be selfish about. The only righteousness we have is the righteousness of Christ. Don't be like that, the Father pleads with us. What is the Father like? This parable was told to the religious leaders so they would learn something about their Heavenly Father. Did they learn their lesson? We don't know. We're left hanging. And that's really not important. What's really important is, have we learned that lesson? Have we learned something about what the Father is like? The Father seeks lost sinners. So come to Jesus and receive him as your Savior. The Father rejoices over repentant sinners. Bring joy to the Father's heart by turning from your sins, by confessing your sins, by repenting of your sins. The Father receives straying sinners. There are times when we feel like, and this is all from our enemy, this is all from Satan, there are times when we feel like, I have strayed too far. I have done too much. My Heavenly Father will never forgive me. My Heavenly Father would never welcome me home. That's a lie from the enemy. That's a lie from the devil. Because our Heavenly Father is waiting and watching for his children to come home, to come to their senses, to confess their sins, and to come home. My friend, don't die in the pigsty. Confess your sin, return to the Father, and he will receive you. The Father pleads with self-righteous sinners. Don't miss out on the joy of forgiveness. You know, we are so resistant We want to hang on to those grudges. We want to hang on to that anger. We want to hang on to the things that make us miserable. But there is joy in forgiveness, and there is joy in setting aside our anger. Don't stand outside because of your anger and your refusal to forgive. Come and join the feast. That's what the Father says. Set it aside and come and join the feast and join the joy and rejoicing of your Heavenly Father.